Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, along with Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your host on our website and podcast throughout the week. Really keeping everybody as up to speed as we can on some of the drivers, especially short-term drivers in the market. And chatting with still a number of companies, getting updates from them, recapping a lot of the work that's happened this year and looking into next year. On the first two segments of this weekend show, we are going to be, again, looking ahead into 2023 in terms of a market outlook, as well as some of the economic data that continues to be a major player in Fed policy and also how investors are positioning. We are chatting with Axel Merk, President and Chief Investment Officer at Merk Investments. Axel, before we get into your outlook for the markets next year, I want you to recap what we've seen so far in markets this year. We all know that markets have been dropping pretty much all year. They entered bear market territory in a very orderly fashion in that more stair-step pattern downward. The last month, month and a half has been a bit better for markets, but we're still well off those highs of late last year. Axel, give us a little rundown of what you've noticed, the keys this year in terms of market moves, please.
Well, the key is that it's been miserable for everybody in some ways. And as the key thing is that both bonds and stocks have performed rather poorly. And while gold has been all right, it's not gone through the roof. And so for many years, if you take a step back and go after the financial crisis, equities went up and up and up and up and says, well, why the hell should I diversify? If equities go up, I'll just stick with equities. Well, now everything is going down. And so it will take a while for investors to appreciate that there is actually value in diversification. And diversification does not mean you get a 20% return in some cryptocurrency. Diversification is a broader concept. And you got to think about why something might be worth a diversifier. So for the time being, quote unquote, everybody got burned, and particularly some of the quote unquote best strategies. One of the strategies that Ray Dalio and others have promoted is these risk parity strategies where you allocate equal buckets of risk to equities and bonds. And we already said like a year and a half ago that when inflation is high, those things break down. And so the key theme this year had, of course, been high inflation. The question is, how is this going to unfold going forward with the wonderful fellows we have at the Fed and elsewhere? And so we are in this tumultuous environment. This time is different in the sense that both equities and bonds have come down. What hasn't changed is human nature.
Well, Axel, to your point, bonds and equities have had a rough year, but it's really strange. For decades, we haven't seen bonds underperform to this degree compared to the general equities in some time. And you brought up Ray Dalio and having that balanced bucket approach, but we've seen the bond bubble from the last 41 years pop. And as the Fed started tapering and stopped being the buyer of last resort, we kept asking people, who's going to buy all these bonds? And apparently, nobody, because we've seen bonds go down and we've seen rates skyrocket up. Do you see that changing next year? Is there going to be a shift to the bond markets?
Well, if I would sell it as a buyer somewhere, it's the question of price usually. But the reason why I think we still have the dip buyers in some ways, even on lower lows and whatnot, is because the Fed is in a pickle, right? They need to, quote unquote, tighten monetary policy. Their job is to break things. That is what hiking rates is all about. That said, since you use this eloquent term bubble, right, they have pushed things to such extremes that if they use their sledgehammer the way they should use it, will have the wheels fall off. And they don't want that. So the Fed wants to have this narrow channel where we gradually slow down the economy, gradually get down inflation, without the wheels falling off and without everything becoming too euphoric. And that's why we have this back and forth. Now, in practice, the bad news is inflation, once it is high, is no longer linear. Right? I mean, the year-over-year comparisons are bound to look better in the coming months, and so it will look like inflation is coming down. But that is absolutely no assurance that inflation will stay down. And so we have a Fed that doesn't have a proper framework. They're flying by the seat of their pants and worrying about the problem of today, but they don't have a forward-looking outlook, and it's a very, very tough environment for the Fed to govern things. And, of course, for us as investors, we have to deal with the cards we're dealt with, right? We can complain all we want. Oh, I don't like what the Fed is doing. Well, hey, they got the bazooka and we don't.
That's right. Don't fight the Fed on the way up. Don't fight the Fed on the way down. Very different policy, and I think it surprised a lot of people with how many rate hikes the Fed has gotten in this year, and it looks like they're still going to be hiking at least early on next year. Another quick recap of this year for the markets has been this rotation of money. It makes sense when money is more expensive, when investors can actually get a yield saving money or in safer instruments. Well, they don't need to dive into growth so much. They've been looking more at value. Do you think this rotation of money that we've seen all year is here to stay?
In some ways, yes. I mean, there are different scenarios. The most likely scenario is that we're going to have a significant recession. I use the word significant carefully. I'm not talking about depression. I'm not talking about a soft landing, but a healthy, in quote, recession. What that means is the Fed is going to hike rates. They're going to do 0.5% in December, then probably 0.25% rate hikes. And then in May, they will pause. And Fed policy acts with a lag. Now, even when we do get that recession, risk assets, meaning equities, they tend to bottom about 1/2 to 2/3 through a recession. Now, that can vary, but that's a reminder that based on the statistics, at least, that the Fed looks at, and based on historic comparison, what the bureaucrats deem to be a recession, we're not there yet. Unemployment is still too low, amongst others. And so that means we're not in the low in the markets. And in that sort of environment, value stocks do tend to outperform. Now, the reason why I differentiate between soft landing, hard landing, and whatnot is I actually think we've reached peak hawkishness, not peak rates, but peak hawkishness, that when Powell said, oh, we're not going to do 75 basis points rate hikes anymore, we'll now do 50 basis points, that was dovish, except he did the impossible. He convinced the market somehow, at least for the day, that that was somehow being tough. And the reason why that's relevant for you and your audience is that gold tends to be early in reacting to that, and especially also gold miners tend to, when the peak hawkishness is reached, we have seen a bottom in that space, whereas in the rest of the equity space, if we do get a significant recession, those can easily continue to go down further. Now, if we only have a soft landing, then equities might take off more quickly. But I just don't see that being realistic, that we have a soft landing in all this, with the Fed all but promising to be late. And so when I look at my crystal ball for 2023, and mind you, crystal balls are never right, but at least that's my view for the moment, is that the Fed will try to kind of play this dance and try to slow the economy. Now, the scenario that the market is pricing in is a quote-unquote normal recession. This may be the most forecast recession ever. That's the one thing that bothers me about all this. But I would think there are many curveballs that can come our way, and then one of them is inflation is not going to exactly play by the book, and the forecasters might, for change, be wrong on inflation.
All right, Axel, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on next segment, so everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are chatting again with Axel Merk, President and Chief Investment Officer of Merk Investments. Axel, just to circle around to the precious metals one last time.
What's your takeaway from the general underperformance of the miners in what was a higher metals price? And we had inflation that is still high. It was running high, especially early on this year, and the metals started to drift lower. They were always viewed as inflation hedge, but this year had some of those long-term investors questioning that.
Well, the first one is, I do believe the price of gold reflects inflation outlook. Now, many of us are glued into the spot CPI index. And while I agree that you can't really beat inflation with interest rates less than the CPI, every asset is forward-looking. And so I find it much more helpful to look at longer-term inflation measures. Now, anybody, many in the audience will say, well, what the hell, how good are they? Nobody knows what inflation will be in 5 or 10 years from now. But that's not my point. My point is that the market is reflecting inflation expectations that far out. And if it is worthwhile on a real basis to hold cash, cash will do well. If it's worthwhile to hold, not to hold it, gold will do well. So as the Fed has had this increase in hawkish tone, those longer term inflation compensations have come down. The real yields have moved higher. And what that is really, it is not a reflection where inflation will be. It is the market's confidence that the Fed will get this in order. And we are off the peak in that of where the real yield will be. And then part of it is because it's simply not sustainable to have real yields on a longer term basis very high. And so in many ways, right, you say, oh, gold hasn't done well. It has actually done very well, I think, in the context of how much hiking and hawkish tone has come out. And it's, I believe, because the market is calling the Fed's bluff that they simply cannot be as hawkish as they want to be. Now, translating that to the miners, got to differentiate between the majors and the miners. The big companies, they're not the same companies that they were in 2008. They were very aggressive back then, which gave them the edge that many gold investors wanted because they had to leverage the price of gold. Whereas now, the big ones, they generate a boatload of cash, which means they're providing less leverage to the price of gold. Their balance sheet looks good, but they're depleting the gold that they own. And so they will have to go out and acquire new assets, but it hasn't happened. And to the extent we've had mergers or acquisitions, the market hasn't been kind to those. And so there's been a reluctance to have corporate activity there to have these bigger companies replenish the resources. And so what I believe we'll see at some point, at the latest in a few years, they have to get to that. And then on the mid-tier level, I think we'll see some mergers. We'll see some mid-tier companies try to emerge, come up. And then, of course, on the small side, they'll just keep digging. When financing conditions aren't good, they can throttle down their expenses much more easily because they don't have a production yet. And so the dynamics are different depending on where you are in the food chain in the mining sector. Overall, on the cost side, things are improving. Energy prices have come down. Some of the inflationary boosts that have hurt the mining sectors are also abating. And so a lot of the headwinds are turning into may not be tailwinds yet, but they are abating. And I think that will be reflected in the share prices as well.
Well, actually, I think you raised a good point there that the markets, the institutions, and even the algorithms that do the high-frequency trading, they really trade off the 5-year break-evens and the tips market for inflation much more so than what we all look at, which is the CPI inflation numbers, and we take away the 10-year, and we see much more negative real rates than what the market expectations are pricing in and trading off of. But as we move into next year, you know, I know that you run a stagflation fund, and we've been in a somewhat stagflationary environment. We've had high energy prices. We've had high inflation. We've had a relatively flat to slow economic growth, a stagnant growth. We've seen the unemployment numbers be stronger than many expected, but there are signs of cracks under the surface with unemployment numbers rising, with big tech laying off big numbers of workers or at least freezing hiring. As we move into next year, are you expecting the stagflationary environment to turn into a full-on recession, or do you think we could actually go too far and hit a deflationary point?
I do think we'll be in a stagflationary environment globally, quite likely in the U.S., I do think, as well. We launched the stagflation ETF in May. The performance so far hasn't been great, and the big reason is we have a very significant – this is not intended – to be a substitute to speculative miners, but it's really intended as a diversifier for a bond holding. And so the volatility is intentionally lower by design. And as such, we have a very large weighting in TIPS in inflation-protected securities. And inflation-protected securities have done poorly year-to-date, in part because inflation expectations, you use fancy terms like break-evens, have come down, right? And so now the market is pricing in very high real yields, and inflation expectations over those longer periods have come down. So if you are in the camp, and we are, that the Fed has a bit of visual thinking here, inflation may actually be higher, that part, a big component of the portfolio, will do well. And historically, TIPS do well in a stagflationary environment. And other components in there is gold should do well. Oil, I just mentioned, they are lower. But if China does open up and reduces its COVID zero strategy, the price of oil may end up going higher. And as more countries will shift towards a reflation environment, I do think that we will get this confusion in the market, but with some markets going up and down, what should benefit, in my view, are the commodities and the sort of environment we're in. And so, and that then mimics quite closely to what we had in the 70s, a stagflationary environment.
Axel, what has the interest been in that stagflation fund that you are running? Have you noticed a lot more people putting money in, taking an interest in that, or are they still trying to ignore this environment?
What we have seen is we've had tremendous interest, but little buying. And part of it might just be the rational reaction to the TIPS not having performed so well. But when we look at our metrics, and we are for-profit business, and so we run Google Ads and whatnot, the engagement is phenomenal in the topic. People they're looking for answers, right? But as we've discussed in the outset, quote-unquote, nothing has really worked, right? And so people are shell-shocked, and they don't do anything. And so the question is, what is it that they have now? Are they in cash? Are they still stuck in equities? Are they investing in gold? What are they looking for? Speculation ETFs. So I do think the time has come that those sort of diversifiers, as we're trying to write for the speculation ETFs, will be embraced more with people not just window shopping, but actually clicking the buttons and investing in those sort of funds.
All right. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment on the radio. But everybody listening on the radio, we do continue our conversation with Axel Merk a little bit longer, discussing more outlooks into next year and a couple other sectors we touch on. If you want to hear that full interview, all you have to do is visit our website, kereport.com, or podcast, The KE Report. And click on that weekend show posting. That's where you can hear that full extended segment with Axel Merk. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Richard Postma.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News.
President Joe Biden signed the bill to avert a freight rail strike that he said could have plunged the U.S. into a catastrophic recession.
Let me begin by thanking my team here. They did one heck of a job in averting what could have been a real disaster. And and ended up with a good product, but we still have more work to do, in my view, in terms of ultimately getting paid sick leave, not just for rail workers, but for every worker in America.
Health officials in the United Kingdom are warning parents to watch for symptoms after 6 children died after contracting a bacterial infection caused by a version of the disease known as Group A strep. This is USA Radio News.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're shifting our focus a little bit now as we are wrapping up the show with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, as we always do, we have Doc on at the start of a new month to recap that last month. Because so much happened in November, we actually had a mid-month interview with Doc to cover the nice move that the precious metals were putting in, more or less carrying through from the little bounces that started in September or October time frame. Now, well, Doc, we're recording this on Thursday, the start of December, and boy, oh boy, the metals are continuing to push higher. Or today, just in fact, we have gold up over 1,800. It's up a little over 3%, over $50 today. Silver's up over a dollar today, closing in on $23. Now, Doc, when we chatted with you halfway through last month, you kept saying we need to wait for January to truly get a handle on this rally. Any changes to that outlook now?
No changes, Corey, and I mentioned that in November and December we could levitate these prices, and not only the precious metals, but also the stock market, and I still feel that. In fact, in the first couple of weeks of this new month, we could move higher here on both the conventional markets and the precious metals. Having said that, then you get into the back end of the month where things start to quiet down, and I think these things could still levitate. We might move down a little bit, but I think January is going to hold the tail technically when you look at the monthly charts. I said that back in October, that January is going to tell us a tail again this year, and especially the first 3 months of next year are going to tell us a big tail. Whether we hold and move higher or whether we move back down again. And I still hold to that.
Well, Doc, as far as the precious metals, if we just isolate those, you know, if you look at where gold was on November 4th, it was at 1618. Today it got up to 1818, so it added $200. And with silver, it actually bottomed in September at 1740, when many people were expecting it to go down a couple dollars more, and it's gradually clawed its way higher. It got over 18 and 19 and 20. People wanted to see it above that 2141, 2150 level. It achieved that a couple weeks back, right around the time we talked. Then everything sold off a little bit more, but then now, as of today, silver is closer to $23. It's way above 22 on a closing basis. We did good in November, but are you thinking that maybe things are getting ahead of themselves here in early December, that they may trail off then? Is that what you're looking at?
It could a little bit, but I don't see any big move down in these precious metals in December. We might get a little weakness, and we might levitate with these things, but I don't see a sudden move back down in any significant way in December at all. And I think they will maintain their positions for a while. And then we'll, I think January is going to be the big thing as far as telling us both silver and gold from a directional standpoint as far as what 2023 is going to bring us. Now, silver, this coming, we've had, and I mentioned that, I believe 2 weeks ago, that we've had 3 months of higher closing highs. And if we close higher in December, that's 4 months. Just like when we were talking about 7 months of lower closing lows in gold, that we're getting close to where we had to have a bounce, and we have. So I think silver becomes problematic in January if we close even higher than November. I think we have a very good chance of having a down month then in January.
So, Doc, big picture at least, if we're looking at the potential bottoms here. For silver, 1740, gold, 1618. Do you think we're going to go back and retest those levels, or is it safe to say that the bottom is in more likely than not?
Usually in long-term charts, like these, you don't just get a V-shaped bottom. You have to go down and test them one more time. And I would expect that would happen. I know, you know, when you're $200 up in gold and everybody's excited again, they're saying, oh, you know, this is it. But unfortunately, in long-term charts, it doesn't work that way often. There needs to be another test back down at the lows. Now, it could happen that it doesn't this time, but in most instances, that's what happens with these kind of markets. And so you have to prepare yourself for that possibility.
Well, Doc, let's talk about what a lot of investors on this call listening and care about, and that's our beleaguered mining stocks. A lot of them have had a really bad year, some would argue two bad years in a row. Now, there has been some life recently. There has been some nice rebounds off the bottoms. But there's also a lot of junior miners that haven't even really moved or have remained in the red despite this recent bounce. Is there any particular areas of the mining stocks that have your interest, the explorers, the developers, the producers, the royalty companies, anything catching your eye right now as a good value?
Well, you know, as much as people have been crushed in this gold market, it's still the producers that are going to carry the day eventually. And so, as you can see, again, it's the producers, most of them, that are doing well in this move up. But a lot of them are still in their monthly trading ranges. They haven't even broken above it. So that has to get you a little bit perturbed, because we have had a $200 move in gold. And a lot of these producers, you know, haven't broke above their Bollinger Bands. And that worries me as well. And also, as far as the volume in the GDX has been terrible. So it's been nothing to write home about. So those two factors make me believe also that we're going to have to go back down and test those lows again. We may not, but in all probability, when you look at different things like volume and those type of things, this is not a rally that is telling you we're going to zoom considerably higher here.
Doc, what would need to happen for this rally to tell you that we need to, or that we could zoom considerably higher? Because price move, it has been a fast price move. I understand volume's not there. Is that just the missing factor?
volume, and also you have to remember in vicious price moves, if you're in a bull market and you get a panic selling that's down, you know, at lower levels, that's often just a cyclical move down, and you continue to move up. Well, the reverse is also true in a bear market in an asset class. If you get a sudden move up, a very significant move up without volume, that often tells you that it's a fake move, and so you have to be careful with those moves.
Well, Doc, we've had a lot of discussion with folks about tax loss selling season, which kind of kicks off at U.S. Thanksgiving and runs through the holidays. But the point that several people have made is that there wasn't really a good year in most sectors unless you were in energy or utilities. Most investors did not have big gains. They had big losses this year, thus not much to wash out with tax losses. And the other thing is some of these stocks were so bombed out in July and September that it's possible some people took tax losses earlier and are already getting back in position. Do you think this recent rally we've seen in the precious metals is interfering with the tax loss selling season this year?
Not necessarily. I think if a lot of people sold earlier and then we started to see a move in these precious metals, in the hard metals, people, and especially traders, would tend to get back in after selling out and taking their losses. And that could be a big function of what's going on right now. And I'm sure most of them are looking at producers and not the junior miners, because, as you said, the junior miners hardly have moved, most of them. And that just goes to reason. And that also tells you that this is not a broad-based rally right now. And it's people will get in producers where at least you have some cash flow and you have stable companies, but they're not going to put that money to work necessarily in junior miners at this point in time.
Okay, Doc, we're going to have to wrap up this segment here, but we're having you back on next segment. We're going to still talk a little bit about the precious metals, but then look at a couple other markets as well. So everyone stick around. We are going to be right back with Richard Postma.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology, a pre-recorded voice about offers, or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are wrapping up this weekend's edition with the continuation of our conversation with Richard Postma, aka Doc. Doc, what about the stocks that have moved? Because in all fairness, look, a lot, pretty much all stocks are still vastly off their highs, but the argument can be made that a couple of these juniors, they've gone up 100%+ just in the last couple weeks, even couple months off of some of their lows. Does that just mean you think they're also going back down, or is any of that sustainable?
Probably not sustainable. I mean, when you go from 2 cents to 4 cents, if you're lucky enough to bought in at your position completely at 2 cents, I'm sure you're feeling pretty good. But then again, who's going to risk a large amount of capital down at 2 cents when people are concerned with falling stocks that they question even the viability of these stocks? So, you know, sure, some of the juniors can do 100%, but from what level? And how many people can time a bottom, especially those that were at the top of this market back in 2020 that were saying it was going even higher when we were at a top? Well, you can bet their cost averaging is not down around when these stocks move 100% that they're making money.
I think that's a good point, Doc. It depends really for every investor. Where did you get positioned? What is your cost basis? Another question would be, you know, they are equities, and we have seen the precious metals mining stocks trade a lot in tandem with the general markets. It seems like there's days where the general markets are up and the mining stocks are up and vice versa. A lot of that deals with the inverse of the U.S. dollar and the 10-year treasuries, you know, what we're seeing in interest rates. Do you see any big changes coming as far as that? Are things going to be so correlated moving into next year, the general equities and the mining stocks, and everything inversely related to the dollar and interest rates?
I think generally we're going to see where precious metals and the general market generally stay in sync a little bit here. And I think if we get a sell-off in January in the first part of next year in the general market, it'll be because people suddenly realize that the Fed is not going to stop raising interest rates, and they got all wedged up when, you know, they were going to probably cut them or raise them less than 75 basis points this time around. But if they listen carefully to the narrative, they're not about to stop anytime soon. they're just going to slow down their increases, and they're going to keep increasing well into next year. I thought they'd probably be done way back last spring. I said at the end of this year or maybe the first quarter of next year, but I'm not so sure about that. They could extend this well into 2023 because they're way behind the curve yet with inflation, and Powell can't afford to back off, and he knows it. And so I think all these asset classes in 2023, just like I said back for 2022, are going to have a very difficult 2023 again. And if we're entering a secular bear, which hasn't been proven yet in my view, and we talked off camera about that, on the conventional markets, we took out, on 1 month, we took out the 50-month moving average. And if we, as we've moved off of that, if we don't go back down and challenge and take that out, and we move higher in the conventional market, then we're right back into that secular bull market we've seen since 2008. But I don't think that's going to happen with high debt levels, with high inflation, and rising interest rates. That, to me, is really crazy, especially when you look at the Case-Shiller PE index, which is over 30 right now, and it's historically at a high level. And I think we've topped on that, and I think we're going to be moving down in the Case-Shiller, and I think PEs are going to be contracting over next year, especially with demand down. And I can't see how the conventional market can elevate. And if that happens, also precious metals and other asset classes will also struggle for some time.
So then does money flow back into the dollar? Because there's no denying last month was a bad month for the dollar. Dollar's off to a bad start this month too. But if we do get that broad-based market pullback, do we then just see the dollar do better?
I think the dollar, like other asset classes that I've talked about, when you've had a long-term move up, it just doesn't reverse on a dime. You've seen it really get pummeled here for a little while, and I think it has to move up and at least make an attempt at a double top. I think that In all probability will happen. It won't happen necessarily right away, but I think the dollar will strengthen again. And how high it'll go, I don't think it takes out its previous high. I think we've seen the top, and I mentioned that months ago, that we'd probably see the end of the dollar move higher by the end of the year, and we're seeing that, and I hold to that. But we could go up and have a move to challenge it one more time. But I think the dollar move is over, and I think we're going to see with time, we're going to start to see the dollar make a long-term move down.
Well, Doc, if it's going to make a long-term move down in the greenback, but in the short term it could still rally to go back up and at least retest some of the highs or retest higher levels, and if that syncs up with this January effect you're looking for where, you know, we may still see the Fed hiking into the first quarter, which would move interest rates up and move markets down and possibly precious metals down. You had mentioned off mic that you were considering, if you see that scenario play out, shorting the markets and even shorting the precious metals, what would you be looking for to give you the signal that you would want to step in and short the markets or short the precious metals in January? What are you going to be looking for on the charts?
What I'm going to be looking for is on a weekly chart for these precious metals in the conventional market to levitate at the top of where they are, probably move a little higher and just levitate at that. And then before the end of the month, I'll take my positions, because often the first week in January is an indicator of what the year's or what the month's going to be like, and the month of January is an indicator of what the year is going to be like. And then I'll put my stops in, and if we do have the first week in January a particularly bad month for these metals in the stock market, then I'll feel pretty good, like I'm on the right side of that trade.
Doc, let's also talk yields, because the bond market, well, it's getting a bit of a buy here. It's been 3 weeks, and bonds or yields, the 10-year has gone from about 4.2, 4.3%, whole way down to 3.5%. And again, that's just in 3 weeks. Clearly, more money going into the bond market. This is also playing into everyone's expectation that the Fed is going to slow and pause their rate hikes in the near term. Where do you see yields moving from here and into next year?
I could see the bond market continue to improve a little bit as we move into 2023, actually. We could see a little bit of improvement. Now, what's interesting about the bond market is if you go back to the monthly chart, it got support right at the 200-month moving average. And it's got to hold there, and I think we can levitate in the bond market for a little while as we move forward. But I don't see it going appreciably higher. Then I think it takes out the 200-month moving average over time. And when that happens, that could happen in the first quarter of next year. But anyway, it's holding right now at the 200-month moving average, and that's a positive for it. But I think it's going to only hold there for some time. And I think we've reversed the long-standing move in the bond market, and I think we're starting a long time or a long bear market in bonds, and I think we started that, and I think it's going to continue.
All right, Doc. Thank you, as always, for what always ends up being a pretty wide net that we cast here, looking at all the different markets, but always with a focus more in the resource sector. Look, it's been an encouraging last month after, in all fairness, a lot of down months in a row for gold. Silver's already bounced. Markets have bounced along with that. A little bit more hope has come into investors' minds, but again, it still has been a pretty rough year, so we do need to take that in context. But again, it sounds like we need to look to next year, and this month still might be okay for markets and metals. Doc, always great chatting with you. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. We love hearing from each and every one of you, so please keep in touch with Shad and I through email, and please go back through our website to listen to all the daily editorials as well as company updates. Doc, everybody, hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.